The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Monday, Dom. Back to work, little buddy.
Hey, Kroot, happy Monday to you, Aaron. Working the board, Rich out today. Thank you, Aaron. Our fair audience, thank you for tuning in to the political party. Join us anytime, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've really only had two pieces of advice I've ever given you in life. One, don't wear flip-flops. And I'm telling you, buddy, I don't think you've ever seen me in flip-flops, but I am wearing sandals today. Open-toed sandals. Like full Jesus-style sandals. Have gone completely against every bit of good advice I've ever given you. Because I've always said, flip-flops prepare you for nothing that life could throw at you.
Continue to be wrong. You can get naked so much faster when you wear flip-flops versus having to, untie your shoelaces. Come on, man.
Well, Dom, I remember why I give that advice. I nearly lost a toe. I mean, these super sturdy bar stools they've got for, the big guys that occasionally broadcast here. Just dropped one on my toe immediately before we went on the air. Almost lost a toe. Yeah, that's the sympathy I get. Little violence.
You can't work on your tan lines on your feet if you don't wear flip-flops, man. I'm just telling you.
I make this pledge. I will never wear flip-flops again. This will be a vivid memory for me of crushed toe and why you don't wear flip-flops in life.
Now, are they flippy floppies or are they like sandals?
Sandals.
I'm not clear. Okay. So you don't have like the between the toe or even.
Nope. Nope.
Do you have a heel support?
No.
There's no strap around the heel.
So, no, okay. Double across the bridge of my foot or whatever it's called. The long part of the foot.
See, you do have to be a little more coordinated and careful when you wear the flip-flops. Of course, I wear flip-flops all the time. All the time. As often as I can. As long as I can. I think I started wearing them about, I don't know, March, April. And I'll go until probably November, as long as I can.
Snow knee-deep.
Pretty much, right.
Here's my other piece of advice for you and really anyone that can hear the sound of my voice right now. Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Oh, man.
Don't wear flip-flops. Don't be a weirdo.
I'll accept one of those as sage advice. The other one, not so much.
Don't be a weirdo. These Republicans, they've devolved beyond fascism into really weirdness. And the Harris campaign's calling them out. This is the new descriptor they use quite often. I think Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, said it first, but it's kind of stuck, and it's kind of true.
Well, that's why it's stuck, because it is true. They are. They're freaking weird, man.
The new VP, J.D. Vance, VP nominee, Vance. Weird.
We'll see.
Freaking
we'll
weird. See. Stuff's falling. Yeah. I mean, did anyone do any vetting of this guy? Did you Google his name? Did you do anything Trump campaign before you selected
this guy?
They
totally did, man. Peter Thiel, financer. Oh, that's all the further they got.
That and apparently the boys, the Trump boys, they see J.D. Vance sort of as a frat dude, sort of buddy-in-law. That was my understanding. I'm not actually close with the Trumps. And of course, Trump's weird. Trump's a weird dude talking about sharks and electrocutions. all kinds of weird stuff.
Hannibal Lecter.
The late, great Hannibal Lecter. He's a weird guy. And right here in our own backyard, Tom, you pointed it out to me. You know what's really freaking weird?
Glenn Grothman.
Yeah, kind of.
That cat's weird. He's certainly weird.
You wouldn't want to hang out with him beyond the course of the picnic. You know what I mean? Like, you don't stick around to hear what sort of war stories he might tell after a dozen beers. At least I wouldn't. Dom might.
No,
too,
man,
weird,
I mean,
to party I'm, with.
I mean, definitely weird. I mean, but I do love weird people, though. I mean, it's not that, you know, I don't want to say, you know, being weird is wrong, but there's just a weird kind of weird, man. They're out there weird, and weird in their own special way.
Weird.
They're weird. They're weird. I mean, think about the things Glenn Grothman has said, the misogynistic things, right? Same thing with Vance, man. You know, the single cat ladies. You have no skin in the game if you don't have kids. I mean, what? I mean, that's a weird thing to say. They are weird. It's a great term. But I don't know. I like strange people, man. It makes the world interesting. But they're just a different kind of weird.
Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times characterizes J.D. Vance slightly differently. Liars now have complete control of the GOP.
Oh, and yes, they do.
Then you see a picture of J.D. Vance down at the RNC, Dom. He writes, I have the Center for Media and Democracy to thank for reminding me just how much clout the election deniers continue to wield in Donald Trump's campaign for the presidency. Trump, of course, hasn't let up one bit in his insistence that Joe Biden or some nefarious and unknown members of the dark state cheated him out of winning the 2020 presidential election, even though every conceivable investigation of that election shows that his claims are nothing more than blatant lies. The pity is so many people still believe them. And Trump's election deniers were there in force during the Milwaukee Republican Convention. CMD reminds us, helping their idol keep the lie alive. Living the lie, Dom. Even though 4 years and dozens of court cases and investigations say otherwise, CMD reported that with the selection of election denier extraordinaire J.D. Vance as the vice presidential candidate, the liars have effectively taken over the Republican Party.
Oh, they certainly have. Crudy, plus at least 16 delegates invited to the convention had signed fraudulent electoral college documents in their states in an attempt to subvert the official counting of the ballots on January 6th, the day Trump urged his followers to head down to the U.S. Capitol. Remember, we'll be wild. Vance was once a never Trumper, but reversed course and on entering the 2020 Senate race in Ohio when he decided he needed Trump's endorsement to have a chance to win the Republican nomination. He suddenly became an outspoken supporter of the then president and a spokesperson for Trump's big lie. Like Trump, he proclaimed that people voted illegally on a large-scale basis and spread other conspiracy theories about the election. Earlier this year, he told an ABC interviewer that if he had been vice president on January 6th of 2021, he would not have certified the election results. He's made it clear that he's one of those politicians without principle, taking whichever side will further his ambitions. Let's remember, though, that there's a method to all this madness. It's all aimed at setting the stage for to once again claim election fraud should the Trump-Vance ticket lose this fall. And a whole host of election deniers, this time backed by dozens of lawyers who have been forging a strategy to exploit every possible angle, are getting ready to invalidate a free American election. They indeed have taken over the Republican Party, Dave Zweifel writes at the Cap Times. And I got to tell you, man, the CMD bringing this up, 4 years and dozens of court cases and investigations saying that, no, the election was not stolen. Yet they continue on with this. Trump continues to talk about it to this day. I mean, that's freaking weird, man. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not true. Your own will told you it wasn't true, man. Your own cats. You did a recount, Trump. You lost more votes in Milwaukee and Dane County than when they initially did the count. You are wrong, sir. And not all these sycophants step up, these weirdos. Oh, yeah, yeah, it was stolen. It was election fraud on a massive scale. Well, just because you say it, you freaking weirdos, doesn't make it true.
What'd P.T. Barnum say? Suckers born every day? Well, indeed. I don't think it's every weird. Minute. I don't think it's weird. I think it's a big Grift, Dom. I think the election denialism was a grift for Donald Trump. It inspired his base, got them to open up these small dollar donations to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars over years, right? Because he never stopped running on the thought, it was rigged, I was robbed, and I'm going to need some of your money to go prove it.
Yeah, and how'd that go? How many hundreds of millions of dollars did Donald Trump spend investigating this stolen election? Zero? He put it all in his pocket. And no, certainly, and we knew it, you know, going into the election, we heard Donald Trump during COVID, all of you. If everyone got a ballot in the mail, the Republicans would never win another election again, you know, and telling his own GOP, don't do that. You'll show up on the day. Don't vote early. Well, of course, now they have these competing messages and battles of whether or not they should or they shouldn't. What do you do? So, okay, yeah, I get it. Trump's a hustler. He's a carnival barker. He's all about putting money in his pocket. That's weird, man. And do people like J.D. Vance and Glenn Grothman, do the Republican base, believe that? Because if you're looking around the room and who the sucker is in the GOP and you don't know who it is, it's probably you. You're freaking weirdos. How do you believe? What credibility does a guy like Trump have on this issue? Zero. Yet you continue to fork over money to this guy because he's what? Telling you who to hate? Telling you what to believe when all the facts are against him? I don't know what you call that, man. It's just weird. I can't explain it. I mean, if you sat here, Crudy, and told me lie after lie after lie after lie for year after year after year, man, eventually your credibility would suffer with me, man. Where's the reaction to that? There is none. That's weird.
Might have to backpedal, clean up some stuff. Here's an interesting point. Donald Trump's campaign, according to Bloomberg, raised more than $250 million after the November 2020 election, after he's no longer the candidate, as part of the purported effort to stop the steal and combat election fraud. But most of the funds were diverted for other purposes, according to the House January 6 committee report. Shocker, isn't it? That's weird. Weird the money didn't actually go for anything other than Trump's personal enrichment.
Huh. Strange how that works like that. Seems to work like that often for Trump. Says something's for something, and he puts it in his pocket. You know, think like Trump University or Trump's, you know, business in New York, for example.
Trump airplanes, Trump steaks, Trump vodka. There's a lot of them. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Only two of us make up the greatest radio show ever. And Aaron on the board, lightly screening your calls. 844-96-PARTY.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate radio show. Love it. When you join the political party, you can do so on the lines. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've got an insider coming in studio next. He is Chuck Kwala. He was the former Senate Majority Leader in the great state of Wisconsin. He's a friend of mine, Dom. And we're going to go inside the new legislative races, new maps, primary, what, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Almost said a week from tomorrow.
Early voting starts tomorrow.
We're in primary season, folks.
I mean, here it is. Welcome to it. It never ends.
It never ends. And there are some constitutional referendums on the ballot. August 13th, partisan primary, first time in Wisconsin's history. We're going to have Batman later in the week. Dom, he's going to come in studio and tell us why he thinks we should vote no on the constitutional amendments. But let me tell you a quick story. Drove to Burlington, Iowa this weekend, and the occasion was a family reunion I had been invited to by DNA dad Chuck. You met Chuck during the pandemic.
I know Chuck.
My wife got me an Ancestry DNA kit. And like a year later, through a little bit of math and a few phone calls, one of his nephews sort of threw Chuck under the bus and said, I think it's Chuck. So anyways, I eventually got in touch with Chuck, and he called me back the very first day I ever reached out to him. And it turns out Chuck's got a few strays, like two, three of us around the upper Midwest. apparently the Summer of Love, very active. The 1969, yeah, the whole year, very active for DNA Daddy Chuck.
Chuck was a busy man.
So back from...
A lot of love to give, Chuck.
Well, apparently he was back from Vietnam and sowing some wild oats. But anyways, he invited me to a family reunion. And I said, okay, it's 4 hours away, but okay, I'll come. Not my family. My family's not coming. They got stuff better to do. But yeah. I'll go meet some DNA cousins and stuff. So anyways, I get in the car Saturday morning, relatively early. You know, it's going to be a 4-hour drive. Want to get there. Cross the state line. Didn't make my normal stop at the very first exit going into Illinois. But I did make a stop a little farther down the road. And for my friends that like to, go visit the border, I would tell you, it might be worth the extra 20 minutes to Rockford, 5-minute wait. Sometimes it's like going to a Walmart on a busy Saturday morning. Could be an hour or 90 minutes in South Beloit.
Trying to get your legal weed out of Illinois, yeah.
Well, I didn't say that's what I was doing, but sure enough, that's what I was doing. So anyways, I figured I was spending my day in Illinois, might need to be in the right mindset to go meet some cousins or whatever. So I leave there, and this is still pretty early. It's like 10 o'clock. I'm already down in Rockford, and call Chuck and say, hey, I'm on the way. Doesn't answer, but I leave my message. Hey, I'm on the way. So I'm like 2.5 hours away. So I get down to this park, Crapo Park in Burlington, Iowa. And I crossed the bridge from Illinois. Came down on the Illinois side, obviously. And I'd seen a comedian at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. The guy that opened up for Charlie Behrens has a whole song about don't get stuck in Peoria, Illinois. Okay. Like, you're going to get stuck on the side of the road. Worst city in America. They will leave you stuck. Nobody's going to help you. You better call a tow truck because nobody's coming to your aid in Peoria. That was the whole nature of the guy's song, because apparently he had a bad experience down in the same neck of the woods. So I get all the way to Burlington, Iowa, Crapo Park. And it's got
Crapo,
like,
or Crapo?
It was spelled Crapo. C-R-A-P-O. Okay. Crapo. Okay. Crapo? I just assumed it was Crapo Park, but what do I know? So I called Chuck and I'm like, hey, I've bumped into a family reunion, but they're all wearing matching t-shirts and they're like the Reinhold-Heislers or something. They're not Stevens's. So where are you guys at? Oh, that's not till tomorrow morning. I've driven 4 hours for an event that's tomorrow morning. He said, you aren't staying over? And I said, no, can't do that. Got some stuff back in Wisconsin tomorrow. Got to take care of. Oh, he thought I was staying over. He came down a day early. So, here's the only good news. I spent time with him and his new wife. He became a widower after 45 years and got a new love, Rosie. So Rosie's keeping him young. And he's got like a old man mullet now. He's grown it out like in the back. Oh, he's got he does live in rural Tennessee now, Whitesburg, what an appropriately named place. And
the waterfall, business in the front, party in the back.
And he lives in Appalachia. I mean, there's mountains in the backyard. He is literally in Appalachia. And so, anyways, I see Chuck, I see Rosie, and she's a former banker, Buckeye. Try not to hold that against her.
Yeah, I was going to say, you love the Ohio State University.
She is not a fan of the J.D. Vance. She's a good, smart woman. Married my DNA daddy all the same. But anyways, Rosie, not a fan of J.D. Vance. Certainly, she's going to vote for Kamala Harris. But the question becomes, so I met him for dinner. I had to go drive like 45 minutes to go meet him. And I hung out with... he introduces, now this is my sister. Well, he doesn't talk like a Southerner too much. He said, this is my sister, Marianne's boy, Todd. Never even struck me for like the 2 hours we sat there and had drinks and whatever. Well, that means we're first cousins.
Right, your cousin Todd.
He didn't introduce me as, hey, this is one of your first cousins. So anyways, I enjoyed their company for a couple hours. We had a very leisurely dinner. Pork chop sandwich, fries, $5. Gimpy's on $150 and in Galesburg, Illinois.
Right.
But I drove 4 hours to not go to a family reunion. And then, as I'm driving back, my son calls me. Oh, yeah, Mom said don't go to the house. Go straight to the lake. That's like 90 more minutes.
So was the invitation wrong, or did you, hit too much of the Illinois product and read it wrong?
I think I got it wrong, but when I called Chuck and I said I was on the way, I think Chuck just assumed, rather than correcting me and saying, it's tomorrow, you've only wasted an hour, go home. I think Chuck was under the misimpression. I was coming down staying early, overnight. Hanging
so
out,
you got
partying.
To hang out with DNA Daddy, and then you went back home. You did not go down the next day for the reunion?
I did not. And you I can tell not. You, at this point, Chuck's moved from the Trump column to undecided. At Ooh, least he's claiming in front of
progress.
The wife that supports Kamala. Yeah. Come back. We've got a fine guest. He is Chuck Kwala, an insider friend of mine, War Devils.
Charged. Never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a weird Monday edition. We'll see how weird it gets up in here. Got a fine guest who's joined me here in the WMDX studios. He is Chuck Kwala, former Senate Majority Leader, great state of Wisconsin. Chuck, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited, Chuck. Not so much about the fact we got a partisan primary on August 13th, because all the important stuff perhaps has been decided. Although I understand there's a couple of constitutional referendums and a summer partisan primary ballot that has to be authored by Republicans, of course.
Of course, and that's why I have a vote no sign in my yard. And fortunately, people were coming around to the doors and saying, hey, this isn't good. This is going to keep the governor from being able to distribute disaster relief funds. The Republicans always want to meddle in. And this is certainly not something that should be handled through a constitutional amendment anyway. So vote no, August 13th.
Chuck, we've got new maps, fair maps in the state of Wisconsin. And suddenly we've got very competitive primaries, especially here in our backyard. I live in Dane County. You live in Dane County. I may move eventually, but I live here right now. And Chuck, this county has got all sorts of Democratic races. And if you win the primary on August 13th, in most cases, you are the new state elected, right?
That is correct. And, probably the biggest race, if you're looking at it, is my old Senate district, the 16th Senate district, where you have three state representatives, each running for that Senate district. And so you've got Melissa Radcliffe, you've got Jimmy Anderson, and you've got Samba Balda all running for that Senate seat. They were three reps, which of course opens up three seats and creates the largest primary, which is in the 48th Assembly District, which is also was my Assembly District. And Melissa Radcliffe, really hard worker. She just won an Assembly seat running away in a Democratic primary 2 years ago. Jimmy Anderson, who's been around for a while, tragic story, but a wonderful young a man who had family members killed in a car accident. And he is a paraplegic. In fact, he has his thing is I sit with Jimmy, and he's been endorsed by a couple of people. So that's a big race. And then when you get down to, Melissa Radcliffe and Samba Balda on the east side and Sun Prairie left, and that left a district where there are five Democrats running, no women, just guys. And in that race, Andrew Heisel, who's been endorsed by Kilderoy's, Melissa, the other Melissa in the race, who's going to be our county executive,
Agard.
Melissa Agard. And then you've got several other people on the ballot there, one an alder, one a county board supervisor in Sun Prairie. It's a Sun Prairie-based district. So you can see that as things change with Melissa Agard leaving for the county exec position, and I expect she will win that primary, and that's a primary as well, you see then that those people from the Assembly moving up to the Senate, and then Assembly races below that.
And Diane Hesselbein from Middleton, she is the new Senate minority leader at this time.
Yes.
Now, Chuck, just to be clear, those of us that have big aspirations for the Dems perhaps winning back the Senate, probably not going to happen this time because only half of these senators are on the ballot. And I believe Diane was one of the plaintiffs and was more than willing to run again in Middleton. But that's not to be, is it?
Yeah, the realistically, even as a big Dem booster, of course, as I am, the Democrats are not going to win the Senate. They're hopefully going to get to 15 seats with the opportunity to win three more seats the next go-around. And I think that's there's a good chance that will happen. But they have to win, basically, over 2 years, they have to win at least 6 out of 7 seats. And by the way, for those of you who are in Dane County thinking about this, one of those seats, although there's not a primary, but that's a good thing. Sarah Kieske is a wonderful person. I've met her. She works in the mental health area up in Columbia County. That district comes all the way down into DeForest and actually a little bit of the east side of Madison over by Easttown, and also has Columbia and Sauk County. She's going to be running against Joan Baldwin, who has been in the legislature but is very much an anti-choice. And I think with reproductive rights this year being such a big issue, Baldwin has only been in 30-some percent of that district. I think that Sarah Kieske has a great opportunity to win. And to be honest with you, I don't want to diss my good friends that are running in other districts, but if there's one person to give to who's running in Dane County, give to Sarah Kieske, because that race is critical for the Democrats, not this time, but next time, getting the majority.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got an insider, a friend of mine. He is Chuck Kwala, attorney at law, former Senate Majority Leader, the Democratic Senate Majority Leader. Chuck, what other races, before we move beyond Dane County, what other races should we be paying attention to and perhaps picking a favorite in because we might have to go vote on them?
Well, again, if you're in a more rural part of Dane County, look at the 40th Assembly District. There is actually a former Speaker of the Assembly, his son is running, Kyle Kinnicky, against Karen DeSanto and Brad Cook. And they're all three good candidates. But, you know, the question here is it going to be the same thing that happened way back when with Tammy Baldwin? Two boys, one girl. And the reality is, if you have two guys running and one woman and reproductive rights being a big issue, is that going to become a dominant force? But I know that all three of these are really good, strong candidates. We touched a little bit on the 48th here. That's the five-person race. Andrew Heisel here, he's an attorney. He's been endorsed by WEAC. He's been endorsed by Melissa Agard. He's been endorsed by Kelda Royce. I think he's got a leg up. He ran 2 years ago in this district.
And those sort of endorsements, Chuck, they're pretty influential in these primaries.
That's a really good point. I think that endorsements don't make a great deal of difference in general elections. I think in primaries what they do, if somebody's getting a lot of endorsements and he's gotten five labor unions and a couple of leaders, you know, two sitting state senators, including the district that he's in, I think that lends more credibility to the person because people don't know who are these other people and what are they doing. Now, one of them's on the county board. Another guy used to be on the city council. There's another guy whose family name is well known around there, Avery Rank. But I do think that these endorsements do make a difference in primary. And by the way, just to point out again on endorsements, Jimmy Anderson is actually endorsed by Kelda Royce.
Chuck, let me ask you with regards to the national ticket. Obviously, Vice President Harris now at the top of that ticket. You know, lots of money being raised, lots of people signing up, registering to vote. People are very motivated. How does that and does it, do you think, trickle down into these, you know, local primaries? If you have people that much more engaged over the last couple of weeks, do you think that's going to have an impact?
I really do. I think that the biggest problem for Democrats this fall was going to be people who just didn't show up to vote, especially young people, especially people who felt they were the double haters. They hated Trump and they hated Biden for different reasons. I don't know if they hated Biden. They just didn't feel he was ready to do the job for another 4 years. I've already talked with, like, Diane Hesselbein. There's nobody who will have their finger on the pulse more than a legislative leader. And I've also talked to Greta Neubauer. They say the enthusiasm and the change, both in donations but also in volunteer activity, et cetera, has just been amazing. I have to admit, I was surprised that there was this much energy generated by this. But everyone I talked to on the Democratic side, including those people who are down at the district level, are saying this is making a huge difference. And I could see this going from a year where Republicans were predicting a major red wave, and I could not have disagreed. And in some private conversations, I may have said to people, this is not good. I think we could actually have a very strong Democratic year this year.
Chuck, the dynamic is obviously changed rapidly, but how much of this is a honeymoon, as the Trump campaign immediately came out the Monday that Kamala basically won the nomination, got the delegates. They were already saying, you know, this is the Kamala honeymoon, but it'll be over quickly. 99 days is pretty quick, but also a lifetime in politics. Chuck, can she ride this crest for 99 days? Certainly the knives will be out for her. But so far, they've done a terrible job. They've thrown the kitchen sink at her, and nothing seemingly has stuck so far, at least.
Well, I would expect what's going on right now is they're doing a lot of polling to figure out what will stick. And so you're going to see some new ads that'll be run against her, I'm sure. And I've already seen some immigration ads. I'm sure you're going to see something about that. Although, by the way, on immigration, the thing, if you're a Democrat or a progressive talking to a Republican, say, Joe Biden, there's no border. Remind them that they had an agreement with one of the most conservative Republican senators to change this and make it right for our country. And Donald Trump said, no, no, no. I don't want to fix the problem. I want an issue to run on. And if you really want a secure border, that ought to be enough reason to vote against Donald Trump and anybody else. And that is an outrageous thing to do, to hurt our own country in order to make your political situation better. But as to whether or not she can ride the wave, very good question. I think you have a couple of things that are actually going to help us. First of all, she's going to get to name a VP. And all the people they're talking about for VP are going to be really good, strong people and are going to contrast beautifully with J.D. Vance, who is not coming across well. And as you point out, even though they're throwing the kitchen sink against Kamala, the whole story has been about J.D. Vance and what an awful candidate he is. And oh my gosh, the stuff he says, almost as bad as that guy, the guy running against Tammy Baldwin, who, my gosh, he can't seem to get out of his own way. And then on top of that, what you have is after you name the VP, and they've got this all laid out, then they go to the convention. And instead of having this brawl that at a minimum, most of us thought, well, you know, with Biden gone, there's going to be a brawl and it's going to be ugly. But hey, this is just instead, they're going to come in united, excited.
Love fest.
All sorts of great speakers. That's going to be another boost for him. So then what changes the dynamics of the race? Well, you know, if Biden were still the candidate, you'd have the Hunter Biden trial that's coming up in September. And it's not going to be the trial where people are going to say, well, you know, either in your own family or some neighbor's family or a relative's family, somebody had a drug problem. That was one thing. But this one's going to be about taxes and tax evasion. That's not going to be something that people are going to relate to. But Kamala doesn't get that. That's not her. That's a personal family thing. It's even tangential, I think, from Joe. So we've got these things that will boost her. And then I don't think that we've really hit, again, we've talked about this before, Mike. I think that we're going to see a huge push on reproductive rights. And I think Democrats are just waiting because people, women, are so angry about this. I don't think people want to have that ramped up for 4 months. But I think in September and October, I think you're going to see that become a big focal point. You know, right now people say, well, if you do look at the polling, it's immigration. Yeah, but the polling to some extent reflects what's being discussed. And as soon as reproductive rights is back on the table, I know this is a sausage fest here that we've got, but basically when you get women in the room, you can just see it's palpable. They know this is on the line. We've got to go after it.
Well, and the RNC, I mean, they didn't bring it up, Chuck, at all. I mean, abortion, they changed the platform and they didn't mention it at all. Of course, Donald Trump very proud of the fact that he's the one, you know, he appointed these justices.
Three justices.
Roe v. Wade, and I'm the guy, but they didn't bring it up at all in Milwaukee.
And that tells you exactly. They know that they've got to avoid it, and there's no way that they can avoid it. And the story of the 10-year-old girl who can't get an abortion, who's been raped, the story of the woman who has twins, and they have to take out the one that's dead in order for her to live and for the other one to live. Oh, my God, the stories. And what these stories, what do they tell you? They tell you one thing. Women should make these decisions, not some guy in some legislature.
What do you think about Joe Biden's proposal earlier today, an op-ed at the Washington Post, about term limits on the Supreme Court, on effectively putting in a recusal code, a recusal code with teeth, and I think above and beyond that, perhaps a constitutional amendment. The king is not the president is not the king. Chuck, as issues in an elective cycle, obviously Joe Biden, he's not the front and center anymore, but he, in his lame duck presidency, has a lot of power to affect policy. What do you think about these propositions?
You know, I actually like him, especially the situation with term limits. I mean, I just think that Supreme Court justices should, you know, the reason we don't have that in there, people think, well, the forefathers, they knew everything. No, they didn't know that people were going to have health care so that they can live into their 90s. Do we really want people living into their 90s being on the Supreme Court? No, we don't. And I think that it would be appropriate to have them out with a very good pension because you don't want them looking over their shoulder at whatever the age is, 65, and saying, oh, I need to get another job. But you can see we've never had what we've got right now with Clarence Thomas and Alito getting huge, massive amounts of of money for vacations and a motorhome, and you know the motorhome is given, and then the loan that was on the motorhome is forgiven.
And something about buying off mom's house for her. That seems
bought his
quite
mother's
friendly.
House. I mean, these are outrageous things. We've never, you know, politics is a strong back and forth, but we've never had this with the Supreme Court. It has to stop. It has to stop.
Our fine guest, he's Chuck Walla. He's an insider. He's the former Senate Majority Leader, great state of Wisconsin. I want to turn our attentions, Chuck, back to the state of Wisconsin. We got some competitive congressional primaries, and we're going to ask you, how weird is Glenn Grothman? You must have served with Glenn. The guy was in the state legislature forever.
I'll tell you about my ride with Glenn Grothman.
Well, let's come back. Riding with Glenn and Chuck Walla and the Devil's Advocates right here. More on the other side.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you for listening. Chuck Walla, former Senate Majority Leader here in the great state of Wisconsin, joining us in the Madison studios. Chuck, the memes about the Republicans being weird, they're great, they're entertaining. I think it's true. It doesn't necessarily mean it's effective. What's your take at this point?
I'll tell you, some of them are odd ducks. I'll never forget Congressman Glenn Grothman is a case in point. I'll never forget after one of the budgets that we had done, I picked up Glenn. I don't know how this happened, but I ended up giving him a ride like to the Capitol, and we're in the car not that long. I don't know what the deal was. Maybe we were coming back from some event, and these are in the days when you would ride with each other and da 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 da. So I'm talking to the guy, and Glenn, the budget was over. He said, I can't believe how my guys gave everything away to you. Everything went your way. And we had done fine, but, there has to be compromise. And, it's not like his people were, just novices at this or whatever. And it was just it's all part of Glenn's view of a win is a right-wing day. And, there are probably some stories that I can't even tell, but Glenn, I am amazed that Glenn is in Congress and continues to say, some remarkable things out there. I have to admit.
Take us back to the 1960s. Glenn wants to.
Yes. No. The 1950s. Let's get it right here. The 1950s. 60s is too recent.
Civil rights happened in the 60s, right? Our fine guest, Chuck Walla. Chuck, I know you're an insider, and I know that you pay attention. I kind of live for this stuff myself. Let's talk about the congressional races here in the state of Wisconsin. The fight in third, Derek Van Orden, talk about weird. This guy has had the weirdest run in Congress, this side of Lauren Boebert.
Oh, Glenn Grothman is so happy that Van Orden is in, because no longer is he the guy who is off the rails. I mean, the guy... there are just multiple stories. First of all, he lashes out in one of the Biden speeches, but everybody kind of expected that. In fact, I even was thinking, I bet he'll be a guy who will say something, even though it's the most inappropriate thing to do. Never did that to Tommy Tuttle. By the way, the first thing that Republicans do after a speech like this is they go after the president. I want you to know that I purposely, after every Tommy Thompson State of the State speech, I would always make the first thing I would say about the governor to be something positive. Well, we agree with the governor X. Why? Because
he's a hell of a drinker.
there has to be something that you can find that's common ground, and I think it's important for our democracy. But Van Orden, he's yelling at young people, laying down, taking pictures in the rotunda of the Capitol, doing something because they're near the end of their time. He's yelling at these people, and I think there are rumors about what his condition was when he did that. Multiple stories. It's not just one. I mean, one or two things happen, but it's just multiple stories about this guy. And there are two people running, Rebecca Cook and Katrina Shanklin, who are running in the primary to defeat Orton. And I'll tell you, if we have a good year in Wisconsin, there's a very good chance that we could get that seat back. It's gotten tougher because of the way that we've gotten polarized and the way that rural Wisconsin has stepped back from Democrats, you know, which, and we need to address that as Democrats. But I think there's a very good chance that we could win that. And that's not the only seat in play. The first district with Peter Barca. Peter Barca and I were in the legislature together. And when I had moved to the Senate, Peter and I put forward a proposal to increase the minimum wage. Peter has done some marvelous things since then. He is, by the way, he is one of the most, people should really look at Peter as a hero. He is a guy who was the, every vote was, but his vote, along with other votes, his was the last vote they needed in order to get the Clinton budget passed, which actually, you know, reduced the
deficit.
He was in Congress prior. He gave up his seat. He gave up his seat because he cast that vote. He knew that he was putting himself at risk. That's the kind of courage that you want to see. That's the kind of guy you want to see back in Congress, in Peter Barca.
Peter Barca, we know him well as the Assembly Minority Leader, as the Department of Revenue Chair. Well, I guess it's not a chair.
Secretary.
Yes. Some title. We're not big on titles around here, Chuck. But Barca is very exciting, and we know him, and I think he's a serious candidate. But the one that's really got me intrigued is in the 8th CD, Kristen Lierley, especially when you compare the very extremist primary going on. I was up in the 8th briefly over the weekend, and I saw Lierley sign, and I took that big sign, saw that as a good thing. But then I saw Trump endorsed Tony Weed, and I also saw big Andre Jacques signs, and strange to me that he uses blue as the background color. No one's going to confuse him for a Dem. But do you think the partisan nature of that primary, do you think they could divide their base? I mean, whoever runs against Lierley compared to an OBGYN, a doctor, they're going to come off as very extreme with their anti-abortion positions.
I'll tell you, as much as I love Peter Barca, and I have given money to Peter Barca, my favorite congressional candidate this year is definitely Dr. Kristen Lierley. She is amazing. She is an OBGYN. She, of course, brings that reproductive rights issue right to the fore. But I'll tell you, you never talk to her and don't think that she is the best, most exciting candidate that there is in the state. She does a great job. She's running in a district that Democrats have no right to think they have any chance to win. But if it's a good year, and the quality of the candidates makes any difference, and she is amazing, she's the person who could win that seat. She is a remarkable candidate. And like you say, OBGYN in a year when reproductive rights is the ballgame. And by the way, the great thing about Dr. Lierley, and I've talked to her many times, I've given her money. One of the great things about her is that she actually is there to help the people down the ballot from her, Jamie Wall and people in the Assembly, Jamie Wall running for the state Senate, and to help Joe Biden. She is there and all in for Democrats, and she's impressive.
Kamala Harris now.
Kamala Harris. Well, I'll tell you, who would have thought that we would be united behind the VP even, you know, 2 weeks ago? It's just remarkable what's happened, and I think that's building an amazing energy for the candidates up and down the ballot.
Chuck Walla, we can feel the energy. The Democrats, they got all the good on their side, all the riz, and the Republicans, they're just damn weird.
They're weird. They're
Chuck,
weird.
Thank you so they're much definitely for joining weird. Us. Come back, the rest of you, more Devil's Advocates on the other side. Joe Biden's proposal for the Supreme Court, and Michael Moore thinks it's time to crush Trump. I concur. Devil's Advocates, stick around.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.